This is eFactor Radio, created by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. And now here's your host, David Wolf.
Welcome to eFactor Radio. I'm David Wolf, your host. The world of business is certainly reinventing itself, and our guest on this segment is an expert in what it takes to reinvent entrepreneurs. Dolores D. McCrory is the chief risk guru of Risk Taking for Success, LLC, where she partners with corporate thought leaders looking to level the innovation playing field. Dee is also currently authoring a book on business innovation in a reinvented world. Joining us on the line from her offices in Santa Clara, California, is Dee McCrory. Dee, welcome to the program.
Hello, David. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You've worked for some major corporations in this supply chain, corporate area. What can entrepreneurs learn from your experience having been in this environment?
Well, you know, David, entrepreneurs can learn a great deal of looking at it from both sides of the field. I mean, I've worked as a supplier to large corporations as well as I manage suppliers. So a very key aspect of the reinventing is that it always keeps you fresh. It rejuvenates you and it helps you remain competitive.
How does the idea of risk, how does it really fold into creating an entrepreneurial culture?
Well, you know, it's the risk, and what I focus on is the risk-taking aspect. So it's really about the entrepreneurial part, working with corporations and helping them to not only design entrepreneurial environments so that it's conducive for individuals to feel more comfortable taking the risk that they need to in moving towards innovation. So, you know, what I always tell clients is that, you know, you don't get to innovation without taking risks. And how do you move creativity? How do you get people to actually take the action? And that's the reason why I focus on risk taking, because it sits between creativity and innovation. It's the actionable part.
Would you say you're most active in the technology space, or does it run the gamut in terms of your clients and partners?
Pretty much a high tech space. That's where I that's where the pain is, and that's where I have the most experience. And so, you know, it tends to kind of map quite naturally for me.
So, when you first approach a client, a partner, an environment that is, let's say, not particularly entrepreneurial, what is it you find, and what's the process look like as you begin to unleash the entrepreneurial culture in them?
You know, first of all, I will attempt to meet with the client beforehand. I mean, you know, there's individuals that and corporations that certainly want to be perceived as innovative and be perceived as the risk takers that they need to, or
sure,
that they, in fact, publish on their websites, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole nother thing to actually have a culture of innovation and to have a culture where it's safe for individuals to truly take the risks that they need to.
Yeah.
So, you know, I ask a series of questions and I observe. I'm a real keen observer. I'm very good at listening between the lines, and, you know, what people tell me and what I see and experience are oftentimes two different things.
As you introduce the idea of, quote, reinvention, How do you approach that with a new group like this, or even individuals? And what do you mean by reinvention?
Well, David, you know, reinvention as a general term is the active involvement in, you know, your personal and professional evolution. And in the case of entrepreneurs, it's the evolution of their business as well. So the goal of reinvention is to sync the timing of these different areas. And however, it's actually more common that each area evolves along different points of time. So say, for example, when entrepreneurs are alert to what can sometimes be subtle changes happening around them,
yeah,
and how these sync with their personal patterns and their business goals, they're actually capable of transforming or reinventing themselves at a faster clip. And that seems to be what companies want to do now. They want to, first of all, understand where they need to reinvent themselves, you know, what is the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, as well as what is possibly holding their company back from moving forward and with more innovative products and services.
I would imagine you're working mostly with domestic companies here in the U.S. Do I have that right?
Yes, that's primarily I'm domestic, although I do have some early interest in the U.K. and also Australia. And since I lived in the UK for a number of years, that to me it'd be sort of like going back home.
That's right. That's right. If you're just joining us, we're visiting with Dee McCrory. She's the chief risk guru at Risk Taking for Success LLC. That website is www.risktakingforsuccess.com. You've got a couple of other websites worthy of mention. TheCorporateEntrepreneur.com is the blog, and RoadToInnovation.tv. Is that video over there?
That is. Uh-huh.
Very cool.
Thank you.
You mentioned that you're mostly involved with the U.S. Is there a collective consciousness about the United States' need to become innovative, to sort of crawl into the reputation that precedes American companies in ingenuity and innovation? I mean, do you have a sense that we've lost some of our way around innovation? Is that a part of what you fold into your process?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a really excellent question, David, because, you know, the reinvention process is not an easy one. And it's, you know, really digging, you know, below the surface, so to speak. And it's more than a word. And so, you know, innovation has really, the word itself has become much more popular than the process of getting companies to, you know, innovate products and services. And quite frankly, it's a lot of, in this country, of what, not just locally in Silicon Valley, but across the country, it's, you know, how do you get your workers, how do you get your employee base to really get excited enough about, you know, wanting to innovate, trusting a company enough to take the risks that they need to take in order to reinvent in the first place. So, you know, there's a number of, not just process steps, but it's actually, it's disturbing to me to see companies really, you know, sort of battening the hatches instead of hiring individuals, instead of truly giving people the rein that they need, you know, setting some really clear guidelines and letting them know what the playing field is, and then, you know, ensuring that their leaders are entrepreneurial. And that's a very key piece, because there was a recent article that stated that oftentimes leaders are the least ones to be taking the risk that they need to, and that they're playing it safer than what companies really require.
Absolutely. I would imagine there's a relationship between the economic downdraft that we've been dealing with, and you point to the sense of the CEO perhaps protecting capital, being a little bit less willing to spend out to a maybe idea or a product innovation, or to, you know, create a group that goes off and creates something new. How are you seeing the economy changing, affecting, or disturbing companies' ability to be innovative?
Well, and, you know, there's different types of business reinventions that I'm seeing in response to, you know, this great recession. And, you know, here in the U.S., where our national unemployment is stuck at 9.5% and, you know, percent, and so much higher even here in California. But we're, you know, I'm seeing, you know, many more micro business startups, and these are the less than 10 employees, where the former employees who are tired of waiting for the traditional quote unquote hiring process to kick in, they're now deciding to sort of take out their hobby idea for a spin, see if it sticks.
Yeah.
So these are those forced entrepreneurs who may or may not be prepared to operate a business, who may or may not decide to do so long term. So that's one of the areas that you know, I'm seeing where people are reinventing their businesses. And another area is this great recession has changed entire industries. So the second type of reinvention are entrepreneurs who have been in the business for 3 to 5 years, and, you know, they're starting to shift their industry focus. So and they're not doing it like all at once. They're actually doing it in parallel, which is smart. But they're starting to do that, preparing to do that cut over to a new industry focus, because perhaps they're seeing their industry as slowing down, or maybe stale, or maybe on the horizon, you know, going away down the road.
Do you tend to work with companies that are of a certain size, or again, does it run a range of sizes? And give us a sense of the color, the difference in that your process takes to get to reinvention based on size.
Okay, well, my focus is primary on large corporations and multinationals, and of course I do have colleagues and friends that make fun of that kind of giggle at that, only because they say, well, wow, you know, you go to the one area where it's probably going to be the hardest to help them create entrepreneurism in their you know, in the corporation. But it happens to be, like I said, it's what you know, it's where the pain is, and it's what I'm hardwired to do. So I do tend to focus on the larger corporations and the multinationals. I do, if I work with the small, medium enterprise type of size,
sure.
It typically tends to run part mentoring and because I work with different organizations. So it's part mentoring and part you know, for fee, but, you know, yeah. It really depends. And I even work with organizations that are focused on entrepreneurs themselves. And so I donate my time for workshops and stuff like that.
Oh, wonderful.
So it really kind of changes the flavor, and mm-hmm. the reinvention process can, you know, it can, depending on what you're looking at, it really, the basics is an 8-week program, and you can speed it up or you can spread it out, and it really depends on what the company wants to do with it.
Do you ever work with startups?
I don't work a lot with startups. That's mm-hmm. like I said, if I do work with startups, it's typically in a mentoring role.
Sure.
And you know, it's a more of a donating of the
understand, sure,
time.
As opposed to a large contract where you'd walk go in like you're more accustomed to doing, and where larger revenue streams are generated for you and your company as well.
Correct. And I usually partner with a number of different subject matter experts. If I take on a big, you know, initiative or engagement, I usually will bring in experts in other areas that allow me to, you know, be bigger than I am through partnerships.
Within the large structures, I'm imagining there are substructures that can be small integrative groups or individuals. Do I have it right?
Absolutely, absolutely. The business units, and that's typically where organizations look to reinvent areas of mm-hmm. their company, because it's really difficult to go into a large corporation and reinvent the entire culture. You know, I mean, changing the DNA of a company culture is very difficult, and it really takes the commitment, you know, from the CEO and the leadership team and the executive team to really make that happen.
Yeah.
So what happens is that you get a lot of thought leaders, you get a lot of innovative entrepreneurial leaders within the business units,
mm-hmm.
and they in fact are looking, so they create change from the inside out.
Mm.
And those are the individuals that typically will partner with me and look to drive change within the corporate structure itself.
Mm, yeah, it really is a change agent. You're working on a book, Dee. Tell us about the book, what's the structure of it, and what you hope to communicate with it.
Well, the book is, titled Innovation in a Reinvented World, and it's really looking at the 10 essential elements that businesses need to focus on. And so it's looking at, 10 companies and different size structures, so from the micro, micro businesses all the way to the multinational,
mm-hmm.
That are basically within each of these specific areas are doing a really exceptional job. So it's really about looking at the best of breed, and saying, you know what, there are companies out here in the U.S., and it's U.S. focused. There are companies here in the U.S. that are doing, you know, they may not be doing everything perfect, but they really are doing certain things that are very, very, again, best of breed, and something that should be, should be emulated.
Fabulous. When do you expect it to be released?
September of 2011.
September of 2011. We'll look forward to that. Do you have a title yet?
Yeah. Well, it is the innovation in a reinvented world, and you know, it's going to be fun. It's one of those things that's it's, you know, 10 essential elements to succeed in the new world of business, and it's really going to be about how these companies of different size structures are really have reinvented their businesses, and particularly in certain areas of that have you know, they're raising the bar, and so there's opportunities that, you know, because I think when you read the news, you know, listen to the news, everything is so, you know, negative, and it seems to be no one's doing anything right, where in fact there are, you know, quite a few businesses and individuals who are getting it right.
Absolutely. Well, it's a delight to have you. We'll follow your story. We look forward to the book as well. The website is www.risktakingforsuccess.com. We've been visiting with Dee McCrory. She's the Chief Risk Guru at Risk Taking for Success, LLC. You can find her on the E-Factor. And Dee, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, David, thanks for having me. You take care.
Thanks for listening to E-Factor Radio. Get more podcasts with your premium membership at efactor.com.